Hey, church family, it's good to be with you. We miss seeing your faces, but this is what we got right now online. So thanks for listening. Thanks for engaging. Let's turn in our Bible to Luke chapter 10. We'll be in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Many of you have been feeling the weight of what's been happening in our country the past few weeks and even few months. And I just want to turn our attention to what the scripture says, because I think when things are beginning to hit the fan and things seem like they're out of control and we seem like a nation divided, the best place for us to look is the Word of God. We never want to just merely react to what we see happening in society. We always want to be rooted and grounded in what does the Bible say about what's happening, and how are we as God's people to respond to the things that are going on around us. As I've gotten to share with some of you and speak with some of you this week, it's clear that many of our hearts are heavy. And we're kind of wondering, like, what are we supposed to do with all this? How are we to navigate through this season as the people of God? And I wanted to look at this parable of the Good Samaritan, because I think Jesus is going to give us some insight in how we're to carry ourselves and the heart that we're to have as the people of God, how we're to represent Jesus to the world in this time. And so I want to begin in verse 25. I'm just going to read it all the way through, and then we'll kind of look at it together. A few things I want to see here. The background of the parable, the details of the parable, and then the good news of the parable. Let's read in verses 25 through 37. It says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, where we can just gather around you and around your word and know that your Holy Spirit is present here with us to open up our eyes to see amazing things in your word, God. We thank you that you're the illuminator of all truth and that you desire to walk with us through this time. We pray that you would shepherd us, Lord, that you would lead us and you would guide us into your ways. That you give us soft hearts, Father, to receive your truth. I pray that you would just lift off any loads, God, any burdens that we're carrying, anything that's stressing us out, God. We just give that to you right now. We put it in your hands. And I pray that your peace would guard us and protect us, Lord. Have your way in this time. Be exalted, Lord, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I love looking at this story because I think it's a powerful illustration, and there's so many good truths within it that we can learn as the people of God. How do we navigate in times where there's division, in times where there are many strong opinions? How can we love people well in times like these? And I think this is really what I want to get to in this story. I want to focus on the background of the parable in verses 25 through 29. We want to look at the background of the parable. We see here in verse 25 that there's a lawyer that stands up to Jesus, right? It seems like they're all sitting down, and a lawyer actually stands up and he wants to put Jesus to the test. And if you know anything about Jesus, that's never a good idea. It's never good to test Jesus because Jesus will always win. And he tests him and he says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And remember, this is an interesting, he has an interesting framework here because he's like, what can I do? He's basically saying, if I want to get into eternal life, I need to do something. And already he's off on the wrong foot because, as we know, and if you don't know, you're going to know, you can't do anything or you can't obey enough commandments to enter into eternal life. There's nothing that you and I can do. Why? Because we've been born in sin and therefore we commit acts of sin. Every single one of us is stained with sin. And so even if we were to do good for the rest of our lives, we still have this sin problem that needs to be dealt with. And so this man is seeking to be justified by the law, right? And so Jesus turns the question on him, right? He asks Jesus this question, but then Jesus gives it right back to him and says, "Hey, what is written in the law? How do you read it? How do you understand the law?" Jesus has him answer his own question. And in verse 27, it says he answers and he says that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus has taught about this before. And this man already knew the answer to his question, right? But he's trying to trap Jesus. And Jesus flips it on him and he kind of looks foolish, right? Because he ends up answering his own question. And then Jesus tells him basically softly, "Hey, you know the answer? Go put into practice. Do this and you will live." And he should have sat down right then. But then he says in verse 29, it says that this man wanted to justify himself. Right? He's just taking the embarrassment further. He wants to justify himself. And so he asks Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Right, he's hoping that Jesus is going to give him a way out, or that Jesus is going to define your neighbor as maybe just your Jewish brothers and sisters. And instead of just giving him a clear-cut answer, Jesus goes into this parable. And in verses 30 through 37, he's going to dive into the details of the parable. Jesus says in verse 30, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead." Okay, there's this man, he's probably Jewish, he's leaving from Jerusalem and he's going to Jericho. Jerusalem to Jericho was about 17 miles, and this was a dangerous road. This guy is faced with these robbers. Right, he suffers injustice at the hands of these robbers. They strip him, they beat him, and they leave him half dead. This guy was a victim of a crime. He suffered injustice at these people's hands. And we are surrounded right now at a time of injustice. And there are many people who are crying out for justice. But it's very important when we talk about justice that we begin with God's word. The culture doesn't define what justice is. We look to God's word and his truth to define what justice is. And Jesus paints the picture and says, hey, there's this man here and he's suffering injustice. Now, there's three people who kind of come by. And he says in verse 31, there was a priest that went down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Okay? This religious person, this priest, looks at him and avoids him. It says, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. How easy it is for religious people to turn a blind eye to injustice in the world. Okay? Many of us, we would have to admit that we are guilty of this. That we are oftentimes like the priest and the Levite. We see the injustice in the world. We see people who are hurting and aching and poor. And we look at them and we might be concerned, but we're never moved to do anything about it. I'm not saying all the time, but many times this is a temptation for us. And it's very possible for us to miss the mark when it comes to showing compassion to others. It's very possible that we can claim to be Christians and yet be unmoved by the brokenness in the world. Especially like a time like this, when there are so many different views and so many of these issues are polarizing. People are on one side or the other. I think it's very important for us to have the heart of God when we see the brokenness and injustices in the world. And these religious people pass by this man. They don't want to get concerned, and they might have some good reasons for doing that, right? Like, for what they were doing as a priest, it's like, you didn't want to get defiled. If you touched a dead person, I believe it was 7 days, you had to be set apart and you had to get clean. You were considered unclean if you touched a dead person. So it might have hindered their work. But what God desires and what God wants from us is mercy. He wants justice. He wants us to be concerned with people who are hurting, who are broken, even if that inconveniences our own agenda. And these two guys missed it. Look at what it says in verse 33. It says, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Now, think about the lawyer here, okay? He is looking for a way out. He's looking to justify himself. And the people that were hearing Jesus talk about this parable probably assumed that, you know, a normal Jewish guy was going to come through. After all these religious elite people come through and just avoid him, now a normal Jewish person will come through and show this man mercy. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus uses the example of a Samaritan. And it's important to understand that the Jews and the Samaritans did not like each other. Okay? There was a big racial divide here. And it's interesting how Jesus chooses to use a Samaritan and say, hey, you know what? This Samaritan, people who the Jews would consider an enemy or a sellout, this was the guy that came, and he's the one that had compassion on this man. And there's a few things I want to point out just in what we see in this, the Good Samaritan. And that is this, that we need open eyes to see the brokenness around us. Right? This man, he looked just like the other men, but notice, he had compassion. When he saw this man, his heart broke. He was willing to see the man. He was willing to see the brokenness and the injustice, and he came near to the man. He opened up his heart. We need open eyes, and we need open hearts that are full of compassion, so that when we see injustice in the world, we're able to, first of all, see it. We're not in denial that it exists. And then our hearts are open, and we're compassionate, and we want to understand what the person is going through. The open eyes and the open hearts, Lead us to have open hands that are willing to serve. Notice how this man gets involved. He doesn't just throw money at the problem. What does it say in verse 34? He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Think about this. This Samaritan man reaches out to this Jewish man. And he gets in there. His hands are probably bloody. He's inconvenienced. He's getting dirty. He's going off course, right? He had a plan to go somewhere, and that's kind of being, you know, put on standby. He takes care of him. And then it says in verse 35, the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. He was willing to have an open schedule so that he might love this person well. Many times we might see someone in need and we kind of rush by because we don't have time for that, right? Like, I got to go to work. We got to do things. That's an inconvenience. Coronavirus. I shouldn't approach them. Listen, if God's leading you to go reach out to someone, trust in him. It's going to be worth it. We need to have an open schedule and be willing to be inconvenienced so that we might be a blessing to other people. This guy's plan and his schedule probably got thrown out of whack by reaching out to this guy. But what we need to see as the people of God, that we have the unique blessing and privilege to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. And what many times will look like an inconvenience, it's oftentimes actually a divine appointment. It's something that God is bringing our way. It's what Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 talk about. And it says that we've been saved for good works. Many times we're walking in those good works, but those good works oftentimes take the form of an inconvenience. They look like they're getting in the way of what we had planned for the day. But I think if we have eyes to see what God is doing, we'll begin to recognize that these inconveniences and these things that kind of get in the way, they're actually divine appointments. And I can't tell you the different people I've met through these kinds of things. There's been people that I've met at the most inconvenient times. And some of them I've passed up. Some of them I've reached out to. The ones that I've reached out to, I've seen God work in powerful ways. I was talking to a brother today, and I met him on the street. Just was going to CVS one day a few years back, and he had a job application in his hand. I just told him, hey man, you need a haircut, you know? And we kind of built this relationship and started talking to him. I find out he's a believer. And, you know, he's looking for a job and was able just to form this relationship with him. And we got to talk today and we were just kind of amazed at how God allowed us to join paths together. And it's amazing. And I think, man, what if I never reached out, or what if we never connected? I would have missed out. We both would have missed out on that. And I think God has these opportunities for us. He has these works for us to walk in. And I pray that God would lead us this week and he lead us in this season in knowing how to reach out to people, how to minister to them, and how to have these conversations and build that relationship with them. Jesus asks this question in verse 36. He says, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? Again, this guy's asking, who's my neighbor? But Jesus tells his story and then asks him, he kind of turns it around again and says, hey, who do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? I love how Jesus does this, right? Because we have our questions, but Jesus is willing and able. He asks us the tough questions back, right? We might have our questions for Jesus, but Jesus says, hey, I want to ask you something as well. We might try to justify ourselves, but Jesus wants to bring us to a place of self-examination. And so in this season, this is really a time where we as the people of God need to say, Lord, remove any way in me that's not of you. Any form of prejudice. Any just like apathy towards people who are struggling, who are on the street. Any like disgust or anything I feel towards them, give me your heart for them. And then praying that God would lead us in how to take action and love on the people around us. He asks this man this question, and this lawyer replies. He says, the one who showed him mercy, he can't even bring himself to save the Samaritan. Right? But and Jesus says to him, hey, you go and do likewise. What is Jesus saying here? Is he saying that we're saved by showing people mercy? No. We know from Scripture that when we truly experience the mercy of God in our lives, we're able to give that mercy out to others. And what I want to talk about lastly is the good news of the parable. The good news of the parable, because when we look at this parable, many of us might identify with either the Good Samaritan, or we might say, you know what, like we are those religious people that sometimes pass by hurting people. But many of us might not identify with the man who was half dead, who was beat up. And I think until we identify with that man, it's going to be hard for us to give out and show mercy and compassion to those who are hurting. Because I think the Bible is clear that Jesus is the ultimate Good Samaritan, that Jesus comes to us in our time of need. We who have been slaves of sin, who need someone to come and to heal us and to help us and to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Jesus is the one who does that for us. But see, if we fail to see ourselves as needy, as in need of the mercy of God, it's going to be difficult for us to show that mercy to other people. And so what we see, the good news of this parable, is that Jesus is the one who comes to seek and save us. We are the ones who are helpless in our sin, and Jesus rescues us, and he absorbs the penalty that we deserve. At great cost to him, he gives his life. He leaves the riches of glory of heaven, and he comes down to our broken world, and he enters our broken world, and he says, you know what? I'm going to take on flesh and blood, and I'm going to endure the ultimate act of injustice. In the story, this man, this Samaritan, does what he can. He helps this person, and he goes about his way. Through the gospel, what Jesus does is he brings healing, he brings hope, but the reason why he can do that is because Jesus was going to be the substitutionary sacrifice for our sin. Jesus, in essence, is saying, I'm going to take your place. And this is the glory of the gospel. It says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. This is what Jesus has done for us. If we're to be people who are merciful, who are moved to mercy, we need to be people who understand how much mercy Jesus has had on us. This isn't just about being a good Samaritan, being a better person, being more merciful. It's about looking to the one who's the ultimate expression of all those things. The one who has mercy, who has grace, who's full of those things, whose heart beats for people who are suffering. Once we look to him, he's going to give us grace to love on the people around us. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I pray that we would be those people, that we look to Jesus, that we wouldn't just try to do this in our own strength, but we draw strength from the gospel. As we're speaking with people about these things, I know some of these things are tough. There's tough conversations. I pray that we would represent Jesus rightly, that our speech would be gracious, that we would be committed to unity, and that we would be peacemakers in times like these, because God has called us as the church to represent him, not just in what we say, but how we say it, in the hearts that we have, in the action that we take. And so, Lord, we pray that you would seal us up. Father, we pray that you would help us that you'd use us as your hands and feet, God, that we would look to you, that we'd remember the mercy that you've shown us, God. Any prejudice, anything in us that's not of you, I pray that you'd remove that and you give us a heart of compassion. The same compassion that you show us, I pray that you'd allow us to show and extend to other people. We repent of the times where we haven't shown your heart, God, where we haven't loved like you love us. And we confess there are many times like that. We pray that you'd wash over us. We pray you remind us of how much you've loved us. And that from that place, that we'd be able to love the people that you have in our life. By your Spirit, for your glory, help us in these things, God. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.